Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Out at a restaurant in Girona, having dinner, late in the evening, I discover that my plans to interview walking artist Yanis Yorgas the following morning have gone awry, as he has to leave on the earliest flight. So to interview him in person, we had to do it there and then. We walk near deserted streets close to midnight, talking about Yanis's unique bond with Prespas on the disputed, remote northern border of Greece.
Is that how long it really is? It's 20 years since you first went to Prespas?
Yes, that's 17 years since 2006, and this keeps going on for all these years. The idea was to go out of the concept of an institution, not stay inside its walls, go outside and explore the territory between where we are and limits, let's say. And the limit is, first of all, limits that we have inside us, meaning that someone could be afraid of walking a long distance, because until then I was a studio artist, practicing my art in big cities like Athens, New York, Detroit, Chicago. And when I found myself in Florina, which is a small city in the middle of a beautiful landscape, then nature became an actuality. And I wanted to really go ahead and see what it was. So I started to walk from the very primary premises that we had then of our art school. And I invited other people to come. It was not only students, but it was also people who came from Athens, a group of, let's say, 15 people, that we walked this 50 kilometers between Florina and Prespa. Because we are not mountaineers, we are not biologists, we are not geographers, we are artists. That was an exodus from a standardized, let's say, venue, which is the academic environment, to something that was unknown to us.
And was this something which was a novel experience for academia in Greece?
Definitely, yes. Really it was. We knew it then, but it has stayed like that because we are the only ones that keep doing it, and not only in Greece, but I think that also in an international environment. I have to say that these were not related to any credits or grades that students were getting. It was after the school year, the academic year, or during the weekend, but the beginning was after the academic year. Those who wanted, they would follow. And it seems that many people followed, so to say. And again, from the students, but it was not only students. It was more like an artistic open call. And only the process of watching was making it a meeting place, apart from the place itself, which was Prespa. Also, I have to say that this, in the beginning, now that I see it in retrospect, of course, we were a little bit like artistic colonizers, so to say, of the place. It was something that we were doing it more for ourselves rather than the community. The community was almost invisible. You know, we were colonizers, exactly, in that way. We wanted to bring art someplace, and then we were not thinking so much about, over there are people living. There are communities that are trying to survive. We go to a place that is in the lowest 5% of less prosperous areas of Europe. We go to a place that has huge wounds from the civil war, from actually 100 years of a civil war. We were in a unique territory. And also we are in a place where the borders between Greece and Albania and then former Yugoslavic Republic of Macedonia, as they were calling it now, Northern Macedonia, they were not just borders between, let's say, Belgium and Holland. These were really borders with huge political issues.
And a huge military presence.
The presence of military, which was huge, until 2000. So we would find ourselves in an abandoned military zone, where no one was guarding the borders.
No, but you had leftover ordnance.
Of course, of course, of course. This is also very interesting, that we were in a place that was an archaeology of a former... It's like going in a prison that was a very high security prison that is abandoned. And you see all the facilities, but it is not a prison anymore. So you find yourself there, but it is still, you know, this aura of something that was there. It was there. There were all the security facilities. There were the panopticon that were there. There were the signs of people not being able to cross. And, of course, there were also, there are still, because there were bombs and minefields, the repeated presence of military units that were cleaning the mines. And you have a minefield cleaning process going on. So it's something at least unique, so to say. In the first 5 years, we were there with long, let's say, even we were able to, at the end, in the beginning it was only 3 days. Then we could stay out for 7 or 8 days. Gradually, we were building up our technical capacity of living outside because it was 30 or 40 people. That was not something easy, so to say. You had to think of security, safety reasons and all that. Then there was the other thing that we found that there was a possibility, and actually it was our former president of the school who said that, since you are there and there are so many abandoned buildings, why don't we get one to make it an artistic station? So we asked for the municipality. They gave us one building. We eventually created a base, so to say, which was this building that could host 24 people, 24 students, and the professor who was with them, so to say, the artist. Important to say is that because there was this attitude of a non-academic requirement, those who were following from the part of the students, they were really taking responsibility, I could say, of the occupy. It was, of course, given legally, but one day they came to me and they said, because, okay, you know, we see that we have to go ahead and do something. If you can, we can have a bus to take us there, because it's 70 kilometers away from the main. We can stay 2 days and clean it completely. And I have actually recordings of that. It was recorded. So we went there and we stayed for 2 days. We cleaned it. We put it in a... And this kept going on for... It's still going on, so to say. By doing this, apart from anything else, it created a bond to society, to the local community, which for them, in the beginning, because it is a very conservative society, they felt very awkward to see all these young art students.
Also suspicious, perhaps.
Everything. Suspicious, how's the profiling, you know, what are these guys, why are they coming here? And then all of a sudden they saw that these were just young in a borderline, away from their families, trying to find something. This is moving by itself. You cannot deny that. I mean, you cannot fight that. And it was so, and also they were also our, they knew how to behave, so to say, and in a way, but it was not about proper behavior, it is about creative behavior. There were many communities that were met there. The one community was the community of the locals. The other community was the community of the students. The other community was the community of the artists that came here. The other community was the community of those who were friends. And when they knew that something was happening, they were coming also. So this kind of meeting place, so to say, somehow it brought all those people together. And this has created a merging situation, so to say, where this energy has somehow been capitalized into something that is very strong, so to say. And it is non... it's there. So you can see it. Anyone can see it when they come.
Okay, so let's leap 15 years and talk about what's happened in the last 3 or 4 years. just pre-COVID and then with the pandemic and then subsequently. Because you ran an event where you invited artists from around the world and you were somewhat overtaken. Just tell my listeners about what you were asking people and then what happened.
The international aspect, the meeting, of course, Gert Vermeer, and thinking about that and giving that a broad perspective, was extremely significant. I created another graduate program that in the law that is officially published in the, let's say, the newspaper of the government, its base is Psarades, the village. It's the only graduate program in Greece that has as its base a village, so to say. I did that, how to say, as a political gesture. So what I did was that to bring people from different venues, of course, the international artists through the Konkin Art, from the two graduate programs, the one that is related to community art and with the cooperation of the University of Aegean, our program, which is more like a Master of Fine Arts, and other creative people, I mean, that come here for other reasons. So what happens is that the last 4 years, what happens is that we feel confident enough because we have created the facility to, and also we know all the small things that could become very big when you are hosting someone.
Because you've walked the entire territory.
Yes.
And you've walked it year after year.
To build. And for instance, this year there is the University of Frankfurt, the Department of Oceanology of the Sea Studies. They wanted to measure the lake life of all these fishes in. So they will come, we will be hosting them, and they will put big aquaria where they will make all their experiments. And at the end, we will make a bio-art project. That happened. What I want to say is that, of course, the fact that because we were always for what we call critical practice, not just doing art, but reflecting on why are we doing things. What is the landscape? What is the topos? What is the space? What is very contemporary issues? And in a way, I think that as an artist that I have been around, so to say, I have been in all these big centers, so to say, for me, the center is the artistic activity. And the artistic activity, in my case, I was trying to create this huge landscape of, let's say, 60 kilometers in diameter to make it a big artistic workshop, so to say, and have their issues that are very contemporary being dealt in reality, actually, but at the same time with people who make Prespes what we call a place of return. They return, we all come back, they come back. And so the concept with when I met Gert, it was exactly this where we really felt very close, Gert Vermeer. There was one thing that as far as what is the culture of the concept of what is administration is very close, which is important, because you could have partners that they don't agree in how to coordinate an event. So this might sound a little bit bureaucratic, but it is important. And the other important thing is that we have the same concept of walking of the body and how this recreates the concept of what is around us. And we create models, let's say, of interpretation that can apply anywhere. Anyway, and this is the first year that we did speak about the history. We met in 2018, I think. In 2019, we did our first project, which was, at a certain point, we had to make a decision because there were too many people coming.
You expected what? 50, 60 people, of which 20 might have been alumni, might have been former students.
Yeah.
And then, but then what happened?
And then there were all 250.
I mean, five times what you expected.
It was not only that, it was people coming from the five continents, from 25 countries, representing 40 institutions.
What was the kernel of the concept you had created, which those people wanted to share, that they wanted to be involved in? What do you think it was? Was it remoteness? Was it creating something where a community hadn't existed? Was it the artistic practice? What do you think was the draw?
I think that
apart from your good looks.
Yeah, we all have good looks.
Greek men always have good looks.
I think that what it was that even if, you know, we are not good in advertising, we just expressed what we were. And I think that transmitted a difference. And people are always seeking for something different. We are all, I think. No matter how established we are, in how many institutions we have been, in how many prestigious, in many brackets, exhibitions we have participated, at the end there is something in us that is searching for, I can call it even originality, so to say. Something that is there, so to say. And I think that that was transmitted in the call. And I think that this is what attracted, because if someone, an artist from Australia who applies for a fund in an organization in Australia decides to come to Presbyte, not someplace else, that was... No, also, I have to say that we have created an international event that is 300 kilometers away from the Klosendal Airport.
I was going to say, you know, to be honest, how many people know more than Athens in Greece? You know?
Yeah.
How many people know where Prespas is or even know what it is?
How many people have connected Greece with another landscape than the typical island landscape, the blue and the sea? I think that what was interesting is that there was transmitted this.
I mean, it was already on the map for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
But you put Prespas on the map for very good reasons, mm-hmm. honourable reasons.
Yeah, yes, I think so, and thank you for... acknowledging that.
No, you have. In an incredible way.
In an unexpected way. We were living a dream that week that this happened in 2019. Also, I have to say that during this week, the Sunday of the week, the last Sunday, it was when we had general elections in Greece. In other cases, it would have been disastrous, especially for the volunteers who all wanted to vote, so to say. So, but still they came. And they left Sunday night to go back in Athens, 600 kilometers away, to vote. So they stayed until the last moment. You know, they could have not come at all. They could have just leave 2 days earlier, but they just stayed there. And I have to say that, of course, I repeat that on the one hand, they were volunteers, but on the other hand, we try as much as possible to support that financially, because I really believe that artists should be paid for what they do. So from whatever resources, the main resources that we have, apart of course, having for them full hospitality and not having to pay when they are there, we try to find small funds, 200 euros, 300 euros, to be compensated for that, what they do.
These 250 people that came, many of them were practicing artists who wanted to make art or share their artistic practice during that week.
Artists who did not know anything about working arts, and when they read, they came to see what this is all about.
And unbeknownst to them, because they didn't realize, because you had at first anticipated only one-fifth of the number, many of them learned about walking art very quickly.
Yes, yes, very quickly and in the hard way, so to say, because, you know, the other thing that I have also to say that apart from there was this group of the artists that they came, there was the theoretician that they came, there were, of course, the former students and students that they came, and the other group of people that they, you know, when I saw that there were 250 with Gert, of course, when we said that the first thing is that try to find as many resources to have a strong administrative presence. There were many, I will mention to one which was the more important, the mountaineers of Florida, the local mountaineers, who are very experienced. So they were there. And in every, let's say, more difficult workshop, mm-hmm. they were with us. But apart of being there with us, it was, you know, the community supporting it.
And they were sharing their experience at the same time.
Yes, yes. You know, from what they were drinking to what they knew about the place, created a huge confidence that things will go right, so to say.
So we have the pandemic, which sensibly you had already thought that you would only run such an encounter every 2 years. You'd already planned it would all be every 2 years. So tell us a little bit about 2021.
Okay. 2021, I said, okay, in order to organize this, we need to start now, which was 8 months before, because this is the time that you need, or you don't organize it at all. And we had ahead of us the lockdown. And we took deliberately the decision to do all the work that was done and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Maybe we were the only ones who did that. We made the open call and leap of faith, this is what it said. And also it was also a very good thing for us psychologically that we are in the pandemic, but we still do what we do. Because we believe in that and we believe, you know, that if this thing opens up, it will be great for people to have.
Like everyone else in the academia in the world, you were teaching on Zoom. And
yes. We were totally in the Zoom situation.
Yeah.
And we were preparing for a huge event.
Physical encounter. Okay.
I mean, if you were reasonable enough, you would have never done that. So searching for funds, doing exactly what it is. I have to say that our funds are very small, so it's 1,000 euros from here, 2,000. Anyway, we will try to improve that. Eventually, what happens is that in June, we could do it.
Incredible.
Everything was open, and it was, you know, if you see it from the outside later on, if people don't know about the pandemic, okay, they did two conferences, one. I mean, we had more or less the same amount of people, 120, 150, which were less only because, of course, of the restrictions of the pandemic and, of course, of the restrictions of people not being able to travel outside of Europe.
But you also did something very clever. You invited people to set up a local hub. So maybe explain that a little bit, because you anticipated there might be issues about people traveling.
So what happens is that because we anticipated that, we said, okay, we will create this hub. But the concept was not to have more people. The concept was that because we are a community-based art process, we want to encourage other communities, no matter where, communities, that we will be doing a community artwork, so to say, and that will be connected to Prespa. That was the concept. It was not for someone to present there or work or whatever, but it was this. So in the open call, we invited communities to create hubs. And then even in that, we were expecting two or three. We said, okay, we cannot handle more, two or three. They came seven, so to say. You know, also this diversity, people coming from Argentina, from Sardinia, from Corsica, from Toronto, from Swiss. So it was from all over, from UK.
The local became global, and you linked that into what was going on in Prespas, and in Prespas you still had 150. Incredible.
What is this is that we did that in case of a danger and everything, in a lockdown, we will still do it. And we were using the motto that even one will be in Prespa. That was our motto. And we ended up this magnifying what we were doing in Prespa. Because at the end, we did both the remote, that was another problem, and the physical. And because everything was there. But again, when you have people that were in the mountains of Prespa, doing their workshops during the day, and then they're coming down and sitting in a cafe where Gert was, and talking with Argentina about similar issues, that was something phenomenal. So this is how it worked. And the step between the first and the second was exactly this hub, which means that what was, let's say, a necessity became the character.
And now also offers you an opportunity whereby it can be repeated. Do you think this is something that is unique to Prespas, or is it unique to artists? Do you think it's something that artists are more open for collaborative working, or local to global, or accommodating or embracing hybridization, or whatever we call it?
I think that for all of those reasons, but for one extra one, which is, I think, the more important, is that art practices are the only practices that are community-based. You will not hear about archaeology community-based. You will not hear about biology community-based, although they are not like this. So we are inside the community.
You're not purely academic. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And walking is the thing that links you to the local community.
Yes. But walking is, after all, being in reality. For instance, You know, I have to say that I'm against hunting 100%. But sometimes the hunters of the village give us tips about things that are for no reason, so to say, but they do it. The other thing that I have to say that we are, you know, another aspect of that, of course, in Prespa there are some of the, there is the history of the place, there is the beauty of the place, there are the ecological issues of the place. We are in touch with all these issues. We are there, let's say. Another important issue is the coexistence with wildlife, especially the bears, and that we participate actually in a European program about that.
But also you're on a migration line for birds.
Yes, yes. When there is a university, this is also the role of a public university, only a public university, not a private one. A public university goes there and somehow, if you are, it has a mission. And apart, one, of course, is the community, the education of the, all that, and through that. And then the other thing is that there are many people who were very highly educated and very highly motivated, so to say, who came to Prespa, independent of what we were doing, to make their lives there. So for them to know and come in touch with the university structure where we, they are, it is a big empowerment. No matter how much they participate, they know that it is there. It gives them a very strong perspective of things, and also for us, it gives us knowledge, because they give us back the knowledge of all these years of being there. One can imagine that in an area of 60 kilometers range, a diameter, they live only 1,500 people.
It is a remarkably remote place. And when you were enticed to go and work there, what drew you there yourself? I haven't asked, what, you know, why did you go?
When I was in Florida, it was like, so to say, a limit. Almost ideal meeting. I have been only there once before doing that. So in a way, I met Prespa. And Prespa gave me more things that I gave to it, so to say, by that.
How about a walk you're going to recommend?
A walk that will be initiated. It has already been initiated in part, but this August it will be initiated as a whole. Between across the borders of Greece and Albania, which is the border, the line of where the civil war of Greece took place, which was the first war of the Cold War. That was 1948-49. The civil war started from 1946, but 1948-49, this area was the main theater of these battles. So this area of Greece is a unique place also for Europe, and it gives another perspective of the typical Greece. The same, you know, people know about the ruins, the Byzantine period, you know, all this. But in this area of Greece, there were wars like the last wars of the Ottoman Empire, until 1912. The Balkan Wars, where this, there were the conflict of the, all of the Balkan Wars against the Ottomans. Then there was, people don't know that, the area, this area was equivalent to Verden, because it was all the Austrian Empire came, so it was the Austrians, the Bulgarians, Russians, French, Greeks, Serbs, fighting in these mountains. And then, when this ended in 1918, what happens is that those who were had left the area during the harsh years of the wars of the Ottoman Empire, and they were in America, they came back with money and they built beautiful houses between 1925 and 1935. But 1940, there was the fascist invasion. From 1940 to 1945, the occupation from the Nazis and the fascists. And from 1945 to 1949 to 1949, civil war. And from 1949 to 1982, one had a special permit because it was considered a NATO front line in order to visit these areas. So you have an area that has the traces of what I hope that we will never experience.
100 years of war.
100 years of war. And in the same area. and everything is there in a beautiful landscape. If someone wants to see the different aspects of what Sublime is, because Sublime is not only about beauty, Sublime is also about horror, one can go there. The walk is exactly this, experiencing this. It is a 9 days walk that we will cross all these, and we will pay a tribute to all those that have lost their lives, all these young people. And young people not only from Europe. I have to say that the French army, most of those who were there were from Laos, from Cambodia, and from Vietnam. They were trained for the wrong reason, of course. Maybe they did not know that they were training the army that will fight against them in the mountains of Florida. So there is a monument for the last army brigade that the Tsar sent to Europe outside the territory to fight was in the mountains of Florida. We want to make this walk as a tribute to the human adventure and hoping that this will create like a pilgrimage of this never happening again. You know, this is a wish, but we always have to make wishes. Especially now, facing all this thing that happens in Ukraine, and it will always be there. And we always have to be aware that is there. And it has been there for still the fact that such a rich area, as far as agriculture, beauty, and all that cannot grow is because of the wounds of the war. The war not end when they stop. They never end, actually. Especially the civil wars, you know.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Yanis Zyogas. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of EasyTronic.